Good morning. Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this morning. That's a blessing, encouraging. I know how it always was for me to spend a week at men's discipleship. Feel very encouraged and inspired, and that is good, but we need to continue in our daily walk, and that is where the challenge comes, to walk it out personally in our everyday life. So yeah, for a message here this morning, if we could turn to Philippians chapter 1. What God has laid upon my heart, Philippians chapter 1. I will read down to verse 1 to 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from our God, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So, my title comes from verse 10, approving things that are excellent. Approving things that are excellent. You know, Paul, he was encouraged with the church there at Philippi. He said in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now he was rejoicing in his heart, Paul was, for these brethren. He knew they were serving the Lord, and he just continued to pray for them, that they may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus of Christ. So as we consider approving things that are excellent, I would like to turn to Isaiah 42 and look at a few scriptures there. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verses 5 to 8. Isaiah 42, 5 says, thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I was going to stop there in verse 8. But anyhow, there's four statements here in verse 8. He says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And as I was thinking of approving things that are excellent in our life, I was thinking of, I thought of this verse here, and we are going to need to have, as the young people were sharing, personal convictions and deep-seated convictions in our heart that, in realizing that I am the Lord, realizing that He is God, and that is His name, and my glory will I not give to another. And I would just like to look at these four statements. I am the Lord. Revelations 2, verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Which is. Think about that. Which is. He is. He is. He says, I am what I am. He is now. Which was. He was in the past. And which is to come. That is what God says about Himself. Which is, which was, and which is to come. Revelations 4:8 says, And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Now that gives us a picture of which is to come. That is what is going on in heaven. You know, we can experience a little bit of God. Last week, I feel like I'm sure that you young people experienced God to some extent, but not to its fullness. But one day we will experience it to its fullness. But it is when it is which is to come. Isaiah 43:10-11 says, Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed. Before me, there was no God formed. Now, to understand that before God, there was no gods formed, then He says, neither shall be after me. He says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. When we can get that in our hearts and settle that, those convictions deep in our heart that God, there is no God formed before for Him, and there won't be any after Him. He says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. That brings us to the next one there. That is my name. That is my name. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Then he says, that is my name. Acts 4:12 says, neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby man must be saved. Through that name, through the name of Jesus Christ, through His name, that is the only name that we can have hope. We can have forgiveness of sins. Outside of this name, there is no hope for mankind. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful. And those that have tasted of His goodness will be able to testify that His name is wonderful. And He's our Counselor. He gives us direction. He is the Mighty God that can deliver us from the bondage of sin, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. When I think of the Prince of Peace, I just think of my life before, of misery, unrest. But Jesus, that name, is the Prince of Peace. And then the next one, he says, my glory. Why not give to another? And I would like to turn to Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. The young people talked about having conviction. And making it personal, it has to be your own personal conviction. Otherwise, it's not. If you don't make it personal, it's not yours. And as we read this here, these verses, I marvel at these verses here in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 9. He says, wherefore will I yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Think about it. He says, my glory I will not give to another. No, when we neglect the Word of God and just cast it aside, you know, as the children of Israel did, he says, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Because he says, I am God, there is none other beside me. Change, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. No, when you turn away from God to some small thing, whatever it is, idols in your life, as we heard this morning, some little idol, to something that doesn't profit anything. Verse 12, I just marveled at verse 12 this morning as I was meditating on it. He said, "Be astonished, O ye heavens." Like, the heavens are like, what are you doing? He says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this." Like, what are you, the heavens are looking down like, what are you people doing? Trying to worship some little idol. Some little idol that doesn't profit anything. Verse 13, he says, "For my people have committed two evils." When you turn to some little idol, when you're not approving the things that are excellent, turn to some little idol or whatever it may be in your life. He says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." And then we go try to make something to worship. And it's like a broken cistern that can't hold water. When we have the fountain of living water, he says, "My people have committed two evils because you forsaken the fountain of living water, and then you go try to make something else that's a broken cistern that can't hold any water." So that's why he's saying, like, The heavens are astonished at this. Like, that is, but it is so, we turn to little things at times, and so God help us as we go through our life to approve the things that we do, approve the things that are excellent, to make sure that the approval of God can be upon it. Whatever we do. Turn with me to John 17. John 17, verse 4 and 5. "I have glorified thee on the earth." These are Jesus speaking. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." No, Jesus says, "I have glorified thee on the earth." He did what his Father wanted him to do. He surrendered his will to the Father's will. And that is how we can give glory to God. If we surrender our will to Him and do what He has called us to do. In verses 9 and 10 there of chapter 17, "I pray for them, I pray not for them, for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." So God is praying for His, or Jesus prayed for His children here, that we could glorify God even as He did. He prayed for us. Beautiful example. In verse 22, yeah, there he says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." No, that glory that he had with the Father, he wants to pour out upon our lives. Then the last one there says, neither my praise to graven images. We will turn to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, verses 14 to 16. Yeah, I would just like to look at these examples of Jesus here as He's walking toward Jerusalem. He's walking toward Jerusalem. I'll just read here, Matthew 14, "And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased, and He said unto them, 'Hearest thou what these say?' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Yea, have ye never heard, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?'" You know, so He was here in the temple, and the chief priests and the scribes, they were offended because people were worshiping Him, praising Him. And He told them, "Don't you know that out of babes you have perfect praise?" And then the other one that I was wanting to look at was in Luke 19, 37 to 40. This is where He was walking toward Jerusalem. Luke 19, verse 37, it says, "And when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto the Master, 'Rebuke thy disciples.' And He answered and said unto them, 'I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.'" He says he will not give His praise to graven images. And so the Pharisees here, they were offended that the people were worshiping Him and praising Him. But He said, if these don't do it, if My people don't do it, then the rocks will cry out. If My people will not worship God, then the rocks are going to cry out and do it. So we have the privilege this morning to praise God with our lives. As we consider, as we move forward here in the message, I'd like to just point out a few practical things to approve the things that are excellent. Now, as we go on through here, I want you to keep these four phrases, these statements, in the back of your mind. I am the Lord, that is My name. My glory will I not give to another, neither My praise to graven images. And so I would like to just move into a few practical points. And yeah, the practical points that I have here, I would just like to look at them and just to have the approval of God upon him, to approve the things that are excellent. You know, there's all kinds of things in this life that we need to deal with. We need to make decisions. And the first one that came to my mind was the music that we listen to. And I'm wondering why I'm thinking, why music? But as I started studying into it, I believe I understand because it has a major effect on our life. The music you listen to will determine who you become. It's a proven fact. Many people will say that words are all that matters, but it is not true. We could ask the question, what is music? What is music? And I'm going to be turning to a couple scriptures here just to read before we move on. In 1 Chronicles 25, verse 5 to 7. Yeah, verse 5 of 1 Chronicles chapter 25 says, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, and the words of God to lift up the horn, and God gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps, for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order, to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 248. And I found it interesting, the songs of the Lord. They were instructed in the songs of the Lord. So what was that? Songs of the Lord. In Isaiah, we'll turn to Isaiah 30, verse 29. Isaiah 30, verse 29 says, ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. There it talks about, ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept. I'm not sure what all this means, but I see reverence. I see solemn in our worship to God, and music is worship. It doesn't matter what kind of music you listen to, it is worship to something. Not all music is worship to God. Revelations 5 verse 9 to 14. Revelations 5 verses 9 to 14. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts and the said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. No, they were there around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy." That is worship. John 4, verses 19 to 24 is where Jesus met the woman at the well there. Verse 19 of John. Yeah, John chapter 4, verse 19. "And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." So she understood that, you know, that their father said that you have to worship in this mountain. And the Jews said you have to worship in Jerusalem. "But Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." So true worship is worship of to worship God in spirit and in truth. And this morning as we sing, there's many hymns that just as powerful as we can sing God with a pure heart, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Then God can minister to us. That is true worship. And that is the music that God wants to hear from our hearts and lives. Remember, we are looking at approving things that are excellent. The music that we listen to, can it have the approval of God upon it? We cannot know the music of God if we do not know God. Whether we are writing music, singing it, or listening to it, it needs to worship God. It needs to have a holy reverence and bring a reverence and a holiness to God. John Newton said, "Weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought." I'll read that again. "Weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought." In today's world, we see as you go out, most people will have their earbuds in. They'll have their ears and they'll be listening to most people will be listening to some kind of music. Called Brother Steve, or he called me the other day, and I heard awful music going on in the background. Because I just want to be up front, it's not me. But, you know, but the music that we listen to will have an effect on our life. You know, I thought of that as most people have earbuds in their ears. And my thought was, the music we are listening to, would we be willing to take one out and give it to the Lord? Would you be willing to do that? Or young people, would you be willing to take one out and give it to your parents? Is it okay? Are you free? You know, I don't recommend walking around with earbuds in. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm making a point. Are we willing to be open with what we're listening to? Can the approval of God be upon it? That is my point. I would like to share just a little testimony of something that happened early on in our Christian life. No, I was fairly strong where I stood on music, but yet, as Laura's younger brother, he was unconverted at that time, and he was living a very ungodly life. And he had this speaker that he listened to music with while his mom and dad found it. And they wondered if we'd take it down to our place and just get it out of there. Well, I was like, I don't care. It's not going to do anything for me. Well, I didn't realize what kind of speaker he had. So it's this pretty good sized speaker. But it has lights on it. And so, I mean, it had everything. And so we had probably a three-year-old, a two-year-old, and a little baby at that time. But I was curious. I was, in my mind, I'm starting to think, you know, we have all kinds of music out there. We have country, bluegrass, gospel, or whatever you want to call it. You have. And so I looked up some music. I connected to this thing. I turned out all my lights, turned on the disco lights on this thing. And it was a well-known singer that sings gospel music with instruments. But what happened, you know, we had a three-year-old and a two-year-old at that time. And the music was... It was nothing. The music on the song was country. It was the song was "Jesus Signed My Pardon," but the music to it. And so I turned it on. All our lights are out, and we have the disco lights in our living room. Everything's sounds a little, but we did this. But within a minute of playing this music, having the lights flashing, I had my three-year-old and my two-year-old jumping around this speaker. It was reality. Reality hit me. Like, the music, we can say it's gospel music, but if we have the lyrics and everything that go with it, if it doesn't bring holiness, it's not drawing us to God, but drawing us away. And it will lead you down. No, we can look at music and we can think the words is all that matters, but it's not. We can look at just say country music. When you think of country music, what do you think of? I think of rodeos, cowboy boots, cowboy hats, because that's what I lived after. So it affects, the music we listen to affects the clothes we wear. You think of rock music. And you think of people that listen to it. What kind of clothes do they wear? It's usually something with jawbones, skulls, pictures of demonic. That's what you see. It affects our hairstyles. You think of rock music. You think of long hair, tattoos. It has a major effect on our lives. And so that is why, as I thought of sharing this, I feel like music has a big factor in where we go in life, because it affects about everything about us. I have a few more here. What about our time? Nathan shared this morning about fast pace of life, about our devotions. Now, what about our time? Are we approving the things that are excellent? Are we making time for what matters? The important things. Yeah, we have many things that we can do. Many things are good things that we do. But are we making time for what is important? I thought of the things that we allow in our homes, as far as the teachings that we listen to, as far as teaching and training our children, guiding our children. I haven't really looked into this, but I've heard of I believe it's a new age thinking about gentle parenting. I don't know if any of you heard about it. But I haven't looked into it that much. But it's gentle parenting. The thought behind it is, you just try to reason with your child. If he dumps out a cup of water, well, you don't spank him or anything. You get another cup of water and you take him to the sink and you teach him, this is where you dump your cup of water. Well, yeah, you teach him where you dump cups of water, but that teaching, those teachings will not hold out. When the Bible in Proverbs has many examples, much wisdom for teaching and training our children. I'll just read one of them. Proverbs 19 verse 18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Chasten thy son while there is hope. And when they're little, dumping out the cups of water, there's hope to train them. But when they get to be 8, 10, 12 years old, and you've never taught them anything, it gets to be very hard to teach them if you let them go their own way. What about the books that we read? Approving things that are excellent. The books that we read as adults. And then also I thought of the books we have for our little children. Because I know early on in our Christian life, there's some brothers and sisters pointed some things out that we had in our home. Things that might seem harmless. Like books with Disney characters or cartoon characters. All those things are from the demonic. They're not of God. Little books, they seem harmless. But someone shared those things with us, and I just share that this morning. What about the baby dolls we have, like Barbie and all that for our daughters? All those things are not of God. And to approve the things that are excellent, to be sure that God's approval can be upon the things that you do. As we go through our day, if we are making conscious choices of approving the things that are excellent, the things that we do, the things that we say, and to remember that I am the Lord, and that is my name. My glory I will not give to another. You know, I had this thought this morning. You know, we have this paper here. It looks like an empty paper. But your life is being wrote out on there. Your whole life is being wrote out on there. And you know, God is looking down. And I just thought of, you know, can God's approval be written over your life with everything that you're doing? The things that you say, the things that you do, your business dealings, God's approval. You know, this is your life, and God is looking down, and He's wanting to put His approval upon your life. He's wanting to do it. And if you're making choices that can't have His approval on, we read there earlier that the heavens are astonished. Like you have what you have everything that you need. You have fountains of living water. You have everything that you need, and you try to go make something else. But it's not going to work. And so those are some thoughts that I had here this morning to share with you. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for listening.